Revelation 22. Again, reading with verse number 10 in Revelation. He saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. He which is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Most all of you know that Alpha and Omega are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now we have yet another reminder from the Revelation of the limited scope of time that mankind has to make a decision to follow the Lord before it's everlastingly too late. John is to reveal the revelation that's given unto him to mankind. And if mankind hears all that John writes in the Revelation and still rejects Christ and God's grace and mercy to be saved, then let him remain as he is. The unjust remain unjust, and the righteous remain righteous, because the unsaved have no righteousness. Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. No man outside a relationship with God has any righteousness to offer unto God. Sadly, many people in the world go to churches and believe that one day they're going to stand before God in judgment, and if they've done more good than they have bad, that it will be like a set of balance and scales. And if they've done more good, then it will outweigh the bad that they've done. There is nowhere that that is taught in the Scripture. That is a mistake of mankind. We must be saved in order to have our sins removed and to receive the declaration of righteousness from God. Those who live by the law of God declares that every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God in Romans 3:19. All the religious groups that teach men are saved by keeping the law, by obeying things like the Sabbath day and the Levitical diet and the 600 commands that were given to the nation of Israel. But Romans 3:20 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. I want to read to you from Romans 3 and verse 21 through 28. If you'd like to turn there and look along with me while I read, you can make sure I don't make a mistake that way. Romans 3 and verse 21 through 28. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ,
unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Propitiation means, can be applied as an appeasement to God. It really means the emphasis of the mercy seat where they sprinkled the blood was the point of mercy between God and man. And that's what the propitiation is, the point of mercy between God and man. And that point of mercy between God and man is Jesus Christ. And that's how we're saved. And it's through the faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith. See what it says? Without the deeds of the law. Yet there are denominations that teach people that they must keep the Ten Commandments, they must keep all the laws, they must keep the Levitical diet, you can't eat pork, you can't do this, you can't do that, that the Sabbath is Friday night at sundown until Saturday night at sundown, and you must worship on that day and not on Sunday as these people who profess to be Christians. It's because they just don't know their Bibles, my friends. If they did, they would have an understanding. You cannot be saved by the keeping of the law. All the religious groups that teach this are teaching a false teaching. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. Now, Revelation says, him that is filthy or morally defiled is unrighteous. He doesn't see the defilement of his sin and turn to God for mercy after hearing the revelation spoken and revealed to him, then he must stay as he is. There's no further witness that's going to be given past the revelation for man. He lets him remain as he is. 1 Corinthians 6, if you want to turn there, in verse 9, speaking of the church at Corinth, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Get this. And such were some of you. But ye are washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So in the past, every believer had a past. In the past, some of us were not saved until later in life, and we went out and experienced all kinds of sins. We were in this list that is given here in verse 9 through 11. But thanks be to God, if you're saved, you're in that list given in verse 11 now. You're washed of your sins. You're sanctified, which means to be set apart holy by God. You're justified, which means you're declared righteous in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, those living in sin are unclean and unacceptable to God. They shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But there's a point that this is still hope today. Right now, there's still opportunity. Right now, there's still hope. The Lord has not returned. And while he waits because he's long-suffering, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So right now, the call goes out to you to come and take of the water of life freely. Come and be saved. Come and have your sins forgiven. Come and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's hope for the sinner today while there's still time and while there's still opportunity. Don't look at God's warnings about the judgments of Revelation with such a severity to say, well, I can't live up to that, or I'm offended by that, or anything of that nature. No, no, no. Don't take it in that way. See it as a warning that's giving you an opportunity and the solution to be saved and be forgiven of your sins. Some look at the judgment of God as vile and they turn away. But you can come to Christ and be saved and be cleansed of your sin and be forgiven. And you can be transformed from a sinner into a saint of the Lord, a child of the living God. And we are a part of the family of God here tonight who are saved. And we welcome you to join us in the family. Come to receive Christ and we become brothers and sisters in Christ. To be saints means sanctified ones. It is God who declares us holy in our standing and position in Jesus Christ. We certainly are not worthy of that term in our own lives. Now back in verse 11 in 1 Corinthians, he said, because in the church and in the church family, we had a past also. Such were some of you. Such were some of the Corinthians. Such were some of the Romans. Such were some of the Ephesians. Such were some of the Philippians. Such were some of the Colossians. And all of these New Testament letters to churches, all of them came to be saved. The Thessalonians turned from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for His Son from heaven, and they repented of their sins. The fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, and I explained many times that effeminate is connection with the homosexual movement of men being as women, abusers of themselves with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, sexually impure, every ways of being criminal and guilty and drunkards and vile and cursing and angry men. All of those things, men will die and go to hell because of their sins unless they receive Christ as their Savior. But we've been as these Corinthians in the past. Paul writes to the church, washed, sanctified, made holy by God, just in the name of God and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God through the application of the blood of Jesus that He shed on Calvary's cross. So let all of us who have received such grace and mercy continue in well-doing, realizing the horrors of the revelation in judgment. We do not need to fear it as believers. Like the songwriter wrote about, slowly the names of the book are read, but I know the King, there is no need to dread. There'll be no more night, no more pain, no more tears, never crying again. But we'll be with the Lord in the place He's prepared for us. Now the time is at hand, Revelation 22 says. As He comes to the last chapter in the Revelation, He says the time is at hand. Christ will come quickly. He said, my reward is with me. In verse 12, to give every man as his work shall be. Now we've seen from 1 Corinthians 3 verse 11 that Jesus Christ is the foundation. And we're to build on that foundation, gold, silver, and precious stone, and not to build wood, hay, and stubble. Because our works will be tested by fire. Wood, hay, and stubble tested by fire will simply burn up and there'll be no reward for those things. But the precious stones and gold and silver become more pure when tested by fire. All of the impurities, the dross is taken away until it's clear liquid silver, clear liquid gold. And then it is ready to be poured out and made into coins or bars and idol, not idols. not idols, into statues or something to be used, but not something to be worshipped. So the foundation is Christ, and then our works of serving the Lord are identified in good works as gold, silver, and precious stones, and the wrong that we do are defined as wood, hay, and stubble. Now Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, and verse 24. If you want to turn there, you can. Matthew 7, verse 24. Let me read from verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and it beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall thereof. So we're building on the rock of Jesus Christ. And we recognize in this passage that it teaches us that not everybody is going to be saved. As a matter of fact, there'll be more people lost than there are people that are saved. Some who think they're going to be saved will not be, because they've based their faith on the wrong thing. It must be based on Jesus Christ. Time is now to be saved, because no one is going to be saved after death. And so the time to come is now. The invitation is given to come and take of the water of life freely. Secondly, the Christian will be rewarded for their faithfulness. The Lord brings his reward with him, he said in Revelation 22. If you want to look at 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 6, 1 Peter 1 and verse 3 through 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be he who's birthed us into his family, giving us a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations. To an inheritance, Christ our elder brother inherits everything, and he shares it with us who believe in him and who live for him and serve him, and we do spiritual works in his name. We will be rewarded for those things. In the song that April sang this morning, a cappella in the service, a very beautiful song, her voice very beautiful. She sang a great song about the Lord in 1 Thessalonians 4, and she said that when we bow before the Lord, we will cast our crowns at his feet. The crowns are our rewards, and we'll lay them at his feet to show how much we loved him, that we've earn these things because we loved him, because we served him, and we will offer them unto him. And that will take part in heaven. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10 and 11 speaks of every believer standing before the judgment seat of Christ. And the judgment seat in the Greek language is the word bema. The bema seat of a king was where he judged the games in the arena. He had a great position there, and he would issue laurel crowns or a gold coin or a necklace to the runners or those in the athletic competitions who won the prizes, who worked the hardest, who ran the fastest. And that's different from where he judged life and death matters from his throne in the palace. And Christ will sit on the great white throne in Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, and judge all the lost. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. But they'll be judged according to their works. And the books will be read, keeping up with their works. But that's a separate judgment from believers. Believers appear at the judgment seat of Christ. and the lost appear at the great white throne judgment. Now we go back to Revelation 22, verse 13 through 16. Christ is the eternal one who had part in the creation, and he gave himself at Calvary for our salvation. He will prepare a place for us in heaven, and one day we'll go to that place. Now, we like to sing songs, and we like to, songwriters write beautiful lyrics. Mansion Over the Hilltop is a favorite song of many Christians. The only problem is there's nowhere in the Bible that says that Jesus is going to prepare a palatial mansion for every believer. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Now get this. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You're not going to need a 60-room mansion in heaven. But in the mansions, a place will be provided for you. It'll be a special place. It'll be a place where, because of your works and your service to God, a place has been prepared for you. And he will come and receive us and complete our salvation by giving us a new body and taking us to the place that he's prepared for us. He will be the righteous judge of all men. Why can men not see this and hear this and the warnings of the revelation? While today is the day of opportunity, now is the accepted time for them to be saved. Thirdly, hear all the scriptures say of Christ and the warnings on those who reject him and do not see his kind compassion of mercy and grace. In Revelation 22, this is the final end time impending that will finalize all the plan of redemption for man. We see the seventh and final beatitude of Revelation found here. Blessed are they that do his commandments. In chapter 1 in verse 3, we read the first of those beatitudes. Blessed are those who hear these sayings of mine and do keep these things that are written therein. In 14:13, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from this time forth. Their works will follow them. Revelation 16:15, blessed is he that watches and keeps his garment, lest he lose his garment. Revelation 19:9, the fourth, blessed are they who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Fifth beatitude, Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. The sixth blessed or beatitude in Revelation 22, 7. Blessed is he that keeps these sayings, the book of Revelation. And the seventh in 22, 14. Blessed are they who do his commands to have right to the tree of life and to have access to the holy city. Now, you remember that Adam and Eve were placed in the Garden of Eden and they were told they could eat of every tree in the garden. My mind can only speculate what the fruit may have been like in the Garden of Eden, which was a perfect place. There was no disease. There was no damage from anything. All of that came as a result of sin. Fruit could have been very large. It would have been very satisfying. Can you imagine apples big as basketballs? You know, the Koreans have persimmons that are the size of a baseball or even get up as big as a softball. And Joy and I know somebody that has a tree that produces that here in the United States. They're not quite that big, but they're that big. And boy, they're tasty, persimmons. Imagine in the original garden all the things that Adam and Eve could have eaten from. But instead of eating of every tree of the garden, they could have said, tonight we're going to eat from this one, and tomorrow night from that one, and the next night from that one. Instead, temptation got hold of them, and they ate of the one tree that was prohibited to them, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they sinned by disobeying God, and God put them out of the garden. Adam and Eve failed to obey, and they were denied access to the tree of life. God set cherubs with flaming swords in front of the tree of life, lest Adam and Eve should eat of the tree of life and live forever in their sin. Now imagine, that was not just a punishment, my friends. That was a blessing of God. Could you imagine a person living sinfully and not able to die, but live forever? They just keep getting older. Their bones are worn completely out. Their disease has eaten their body and ravished them, but they can't die. They just keep suffering. It'd be just like going to hell with the unbelievers, where they'll suffer for all eternity. Now in Revelation, the water and the tree refer to eternal life. The fruit of the tree is for the people to eat, it says, and the leaves are for healing or for therapy to the nations. The last invitation is given in verse 17, and there's four incentives that are given here for sinners. Number one, the person of Christ. He personally reveals who he is and the issues of his call. He's the exalted, sinless Son of God who says, "Come, sinner, and drink of the water of life freely." Christ himself makes this invitation to sinners. Secondly, he controls the rights to the new heaven and the new earth. There's two kinds of people. Those within the kingdom of heaven who've been washed and sanctified and justified, and those without who are unclean, morally corrupt, criminally guilty, and are simply sinners. Number three, verse 18 and 19. Faithful and true are these sayings of God's word. God's word, the revelation, all these judgments we've read about, and all these opportunities we've prayed about and made public, they are the word of God, they are truth, there is no deception with God, and he reveals all these warnings to man. No man's going to be able to go to hell and say, "Nobody told me." God's been telling you over and over and over again and made his word available to you in just about every language there is. Fourthly, the new age is imminent. Imminent doesn't mean right now. It means it could come at any moment. Christ could come at any time. And most men today have no idea how brief their life is going to be. We heard about this preacher who, his wife, they have seven children, and he died at 40-something years of age and left her with seven kids. I'm sure he had many plans, and he had no idea how short or brief his life would be. And no man knows how brief his life might be. If you're not saved and you're living into old age, you ought to get on your face before God tonight and thank him for his mercy and his grace to have given you time to hear the truth and to believe and be saved. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Come and take of the water of life freely and receive eternal life. Eternal life begins the moment that you get saved. It's not a matter that you've got to live till you die and then stand before God in judgment. Yeah, but what if I do something wrong? Don't you think God knew that? He's made provision. He said to Christians, if we sin, let us confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Christ died for every sin you committed in the past and for every sin you might commit in the future. And when you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a part of the family of God, and he will receive you. And if you don't live for the Lord and you go out and live in sin like you're not a believer, and you truly are, you may see him a lot faster than you ever thought, because he may take you out of this life if you don't live for him and serve him. He chastens his own. The reason he doesn't chasten the unsaved is because the only thing they've got to look forward to is judgment and hell and the lake of fire. But as believers, he chastens us to keep us on the straight and narrow path so that we can be righteous for his sake and for his glory. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to these services of the study of the book of Revelation again. It's been a joy to go through this verse by verse. I have 13 commentaries on the book of Revelation and some sets of commentaries beside that. And quite often when I prepare messages, I look at every commentary and what it has to say about that passage of Scripture. Sometimes I get another thought that I hadn't thought about, and I look at the word studies on the Greek language and define terms and words. And so every time I've preached on Revelation, I don't just go back in my files and find a sermon and get it out and preach the same sermon again. I create a new sermon and a new series, and there are many things different about it. And God speaks to our heart that way, and he deserves our study and our efforts to be put into the Word of God. Let's give him thanks. Father, we do praise you and thank you for all your mercy and grace to us. Thank you for saving us by your grace. Thank you for giving the Lord Jesus Christ to die in our place that we might be forgiven because of him. And we receive your righteousness because of what he earned by dying on the cross and rising again from the dead. And we stand in his place as his children, forgiven and cleansed. And we're thankful for that tonight. Lord, we care about those who are not saved. We pray for them. If they're listening by live streaming, if they hear this some other time, please deal with their heart and help them to come before it's too late. Jacob and I and the deacons of this church, we all stand ready to help them, to share from the Word of God how they can be saved and forgiven and receive everlasting life like someone took time to share with us in the past. So we thank you for your blessings and goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.